George Capanelli here. Welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your busting myth co-hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, interspersed with some great music.
Our topic today is Beyond the Myth of Youth. The Myth of Youth. You'll join Alan and me for the next part of an insightful interview with Patricia Gottlieb Shapiro, author of The Privilege of Aging.
We also have music interludes with K.D. Lang, Wash Me Clean, Kenny Loggins does Celebrate Me Home, Van Morrison, Too Many Myths, and 01 with some fun, call it Oogie Iha, a bed for my Rudy rap to close out. Also today, Dr. Pat Love on happiness and love and our potent You Gotta Be Kidding news segment.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. No longer needing to compete and be acceptable, likable, and all of those other things considered respectable in society. People are finally uncaged in their elder years, free to release energies and capacities that the culture restrained in them in their younger years. This quote from Jean Houston says volumes about the conscious and unconscious limits society imposes on many of us, and that many of us accept in this time when, as a nation, we're youth-obsessed and age-averse.
And since our aim here is to inspire and encourage all of us, and especially those in the second half of life, to throw off the chains that imprison us, this obsession with youth, what George and Dina refer to in their wonderful book, Do Not Go Quietly, as society's misguided siren song. It is one of the things that imprisons us. Let's look a little closer. The myth of youth is actually built on a lie. Youth and early maturity are not the only stages of life that have value. No more than spring and summer are the only seasons of the year that have value. In fact, without fall and winter, there is no completion to the yearly cycle.
No harvesting of the seeds planted in the spring and summer of life and in the earth cycle. No opportunity for us or the earth to rest, to rebuild for the next planting. Without the fall and winter of life, there's no conclusion, no summation, no coming to terms with the lessons gained and the wisdom accumulated. What we have without these stages of life is precisely the kind of world of chaos and conflict that exists today. It's a world disconnected from the past, out of touch with reality, and unconcerned for and unconscious about the future. It's a world in which everyone grabs as much as they can, as soon as they can, without concern for those who'll come later. Land, water, natural resources, the survival of other species, even members of our own. All are only fodder for use, misuse, consumption, and accumulation, primarily for the few against the many.
Another limitation and negative implication resulting from this myth of youth is by valuing youth and discounting and denying two of life's unavoidable and natural stages, unavoidable and natural stages, our entire value system gets corrupted. You see, aging is not a mistake, not a disease. Dying is not some kind of accident that science and technology will someday prevent or solve. Aging and dying are essential, necessary, and valuable stages of life. Just as there is an entrance called birth, there must be an exit called death. Otherwise, life would indeed be, as Jean-Paul Sartre once suggested, hell, with no time off.
Imagine, on the other hand, what would happen to our beliefs, values, and priorities if we took Carlos Castaneda's good advice and throughout life kept death over our left shoulder as a consultant and a friend. What if we kept the awareness of our exit continually in mind, not out of fear or morbidity, but because it helps us make each moment we are alive more precious, each opportunity more valuable, and each interaction and experience more meaningful relative to all of those experiences that have come before and all that'll come after. Imagine what would happen if we let go of the Hollywood religious boogeyman characterization of death as a specter and instead viewed it as a friend. What if death isn't the end of the line, but only a well-earned respite between experiences? What if aging is a time for celebration and preparation, and death is a vacation or holiday from the rigors of physical life?
I like that. And what if one of the reasons so many in our world try to avoid and even reverse the signs of aging and deny death is that someplace in our consciousness we know that we haven't yet accomplished what we came into life to do, and we're concerned that time is running out. In short, what if one of the reasons we are so youth-obsessed and age and death-averse is that instead of using this precious gift called life to elevate our consciousness, learn the lessons we're here to learn, heal old wounds, and prepare for the next stage of our evolution, a number of us are hanging out on the sidelines or spending our time doing frivolous things that don't advance our own or anyone else's life?
By comparison, what if life is not about time off, timeshares, accumulation, and consumption, but instead about time on, time in the game of life, time living fully, loving madly, growing consciously, and celebrating the best of who we are and what we contribute? So let's raise our voices, elevate our spirits, and put an end to this myth of youth that holds so many of us prisoner. Let's live boldly, fully, flat out in love with life before we take our next vacation.
You put your name up in lights.
Age Nation Radio. Our revolution is now. We are happy to report, support, and invite you to the upcoming Clean Economy Conference, Building Resiliency, Friday, January 31st through Sunday, February 2nd, with a keynote address and an all-day opening workshop facilitated by Joel Salatin, titled Ballet in the Pasture. Referred to as the Lunatic Farmer, Joel is dedicated to building sustainable food systems. He does it hands-on as a farmer and also writes about it as an author.
Also engage a variety of expert presenters on topics including beekeeping, permaculture design, local organic food production, zero waste, water harvesting, the soil food web, community gardens, composting, regenerative agriculture, urban farming, and much more.
This Carbon Economy Series presentation will be at the Albuquerque Embassy Suites. Full details and registration available at www.carboneconomyseries.com. or by calling 505-819-3828. That's 819-3828. Joe's Dining, your premier farm-to-table establishment in Santa Fe, is the largest restaurant purchaser of farmers market and locally grown and raised veggies, meats, and other delicious healthy food, thanks to dedicated proprietors Roland and Sheila.
At Joe's, your TRM team's restaurant of choice, you'll find a huge menu of sumptuous homemade dishes. Try their award-winning soups, house-smoked salmon, grass-finished bison, beef, and lamb burgers, organic thin-crust pizza, homemade fresh mozzarella, hot and cold sandwiches, eggs benedict, blue corn pancakes, bulging burritos, a marvelous rack of lamb, a variety of salads, and exquisite desserts made in-house daily. All that with a gluten-free selection as well.
Eat in, take out, Joe's, where local farming and superb dining come together at Rodeo and Zia Roads. Open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch, 7:30 a.m. till 9 p.m., 7 days a week. Also visit joesdining.com.
Natural Awakenings New Mexico is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga, work out, shop in health food stores, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions.
In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. It's all free and available at many locations between Santa Fe and Albuquerque, as well as online at naturalawakeningsnnm.com.
If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, Natural Awakenings magazine readers are your potential customers. Learn more by calling 505-999-1319. That's 999-1319. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who changed the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com, it's free. Sign up today.
We have returned in a serialized conversation of somewhat great length on a good subject, The Privilege of Aging. That's the title of Pat Shapiro's book. And we have, I probably mispronounced your name about three or four different times, but that's all right.
That's okay.
I'm going to call you Pat. And George had something he wanted to bring in around one of these 12 women, age 75 to 102. Pretty amazing. The spread of who you spoke with. So go ahead, George, what was that?
Well, no, Pat, I have to admit, I was reading along kind of blithely in the book and paying attention and learning things and whatnot. And this story of Sarah Hanna?
Yes.
Just brought me up short. I mean, there's a way that you have of describing her story. With some interjections by her, that is just stunning to think that a human being not only could survive what she survived in the camps, but somehow has managed to continue to do the things that she's done in her life. Could you talk a little bit about the impact she had on you while writing this piece?
Well, I heard about Sarah Hanna from a friend of mine who, as she is his cousin, and so I knew a little bit about her before I interviewed her. This is a woman who was born in Lithuania, and at age 12, when the Germans and Russians came, she and her family fled. They were in ghettos, she was in the camp, and she actually walked away from a death march as a teenager. She was completely on her own. She lost her sister and both of her parents and somehow made it to America to be with family. And there was never any bitterness in her. She was grateful for her life and wanted to live her life as a remembrance to her family.
Well, isn't that why she took the second name, the
yes,
name
she
of
took her
sister?
Yes, yeah. She took her sister's name and now uses both.
You say in one point you're quoting her and in the epilogue to her book, and what was the name of her book? I don't remember, but it's obviously a book that tells her story.
Yes.
And she says, "I am a living example that it is very hard to extinguish the soul."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good moment of silence.
Just wow.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I lived in New York when Reagan was president, and they changed the conditions for mental health and the support. And on one given day, 14,000 people that had been confined in mental institutions were released, and they were all housed on the Upper West Side in single-room occupancy hotels. And one of them was a man who I watched for the next 4 or 5 years be battered and broken by his alcoholism and his engagement with life. And I don't know if you've ever seen the head called The Man with the Broken Nose by Rodin.
No.
Rodin.
Oh.
This man became that living head. And I had this very thought that it is incredible what the human being will endure and how we cling so tenaciously to life. It's extraordinary.
It is. And she wanted to marry. She had children. She has grandchildren. It's remarkable.
Yeah. For people who have no other reason to pick up this book, I would strongly recommend that you do and read that chapter. It's just wonderful, wonderful.
So let's go to the conclusions. I guess you gleaned these from all the conversations, what you call 10 keys to successful aging.
Yes,
and how about I'll just read the bolded title, and then we can maybe briefly spend a little time on each one, any commentary, and we'll cover the 10 in this in another segment if we need to.
Okay.
So the first one is stay involved and active. We've been talking about this. Adopt a passion or cause you believe in. What if somebody's depressed. And I'm not talking about just elders. I mean, dealing with daughters and stepdaughters and the youth of today that look at what's going on, and they can very easily feel like they're insignificant and not able to make a difference or to find a passion.
Well, I think this is important at any age. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just for people who are older. You need a reason to get up and something to care about, and that's what keeps people going and motivated.
Yeah.
And yet, one of the things that's so clear in all of these stories that you've captured, Pat, is that although they are active in the world, the reason for getting up comes from within. It comes from a connection, a drive, whether it's the meditation or whether it's the living the life and doing good for the sister and for the members of the family, mm-hmm. you know. But it comes from inside more than outside.
Yeah, well, you know, it comes from inside, but sometimes, and this gets to the second one, build a support system. Somebody, whether it's a family member or a friendship or a union member, I was just reading a story about a professor who is driving a cab now because she likes the union cab company, that somebody can reignite that flame if it gets temporarily blown out, to use a metaphor, within ourselves. I think this is a time where a lot of people are wondering, you know, where to put their passion and feeling, whether they're, as you said, older or younger. So build a support system. How do you do that? I mean, what do you do for your support system? And you too, George. I know we're Age Nation is trying to create a massive support system mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
Well, I think it's really important to have a support system, to have friends that you can count on, people who are going through what you're going through. I think it's also important for these older women to have younger friends because their older friends are passing away. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems as they get older. And to also have a support system of people who really care about you, so that the relationships are positive. You know, anything that's toxic, you don't want in your life. That's not supportive.
Well, and that means maybe changing relationships,
yeah,
looking
could.
For a new support system.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I think if there was one gift that I would give to each individual who's listening, it's an experience of knowing that support is only one question away, you know, that many of us, when we get into these ruts, fail to ask that one question. Can you help me? Do you have this? Do you know that? Can you spend time with me? And I believe that when that question is asked from the trueness of one's heart, it is never refused. Never, ever refused.
Somebody will respond to the call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's an internal presence. I mean,
yes.
you know, the
yes,
divinity that,
too,
that
yes.
we all are,
yes.
that's the
mm-hmm.
ultimate best response,
yeah.
that inner voice,
yeah.
as, you know, St. John of the Cross and some other people who were in very dark, dark places for long periods of time finally heard that voice, even though they were isolated.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything you want to add to that? We'll take another break here and we'll continue. We've got 8 more things to cover here.
I was just going to say how important it is to reach out to other people,
yes.
but how difficult it is for many people to
yes.
do that.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, we will have a final and concluding segment here. The Privilege of Aging is the discussion and the title of Pat's book. Pat Shapiro and George Capinelli, Alan Huttner. We'll give you 8 more keys to successful aging.
But they swear it will shine again. you just keep knocking.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Crystal Garavac, your Go Solar advocate, with today's Go Solar tip. Are you wondering how many solar panels you would need to zero out your electric bill? Here is the process. Bring us your bill and we will retrieve your annual usage. We calculate how many solar panels your house requires to eliminate your bill based on your energy usage. We use the National Renewable Energy Resource Data Center to verify our calculations. Your system will produce more energy in the summer, which means you will bank the excess energy produced as a cumulative credit with your electric company. You can use the credit in the winter when your usage may exceed production. Every household is different, and that is why we need to see your electric bill. Stop into Go Solar, and we will show you how to not pay an electric bill and instead get a credit each month. For information, client references, and more about how you can become energy independent, save money, and help the environment, call me, your Go Solar advocate, 505-250-9602. That's 250-9602. Also visit online at GoSolarSantaFe.com. Think globally, act locally. Go Solar.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Transitions Multimedia, TMM, and Santa Fe Soul invite you to participate in a very important upcoming event and future series. Mark your calendars for Wednesday, January 29th, 6:30 p.m. for a film showing of author-activist Jeffrey Smith's seminal work, Genetic Roulette, at Santa Fe Soul Sunroom, hosted by yours truly, Alan Huttner and Dr. Robin Benson.
After the film, there will be an open discussion and development of a plan to assist in protecting the usurpation of our food supply by Big Agra and Big Chema, the huge multinational corporations genetically modifying plants and livestock for profit but not for human health. Limited seating. RSVP by calling us at 505-466-2616.
We also invite you to join the self-care revolution now in process with free gifts for signing up with your TMM team. For a limited time, when you opt in off our transradio.com website link, you will receive the Self-Care Revolution 2014 calendar, quote, and goal book. You'll also get free access to upcoming expert guest calls, a thorough 11-step self-care assessment to help you craft your own self-care plan, a self-care journal to let you keep track of your progress, and powerful bonus materials from the self-care coaches. Again, to sign up, go to our website, www.transradio.com, after 4 p.m. today, and click on the hot link, Self-Care Revolution with TMM.
She was once a candidate for Vice President of the U.S. Now she's helping to evolve the consciousness mass. To hear her speak is truly a bless, so listen to Rudy Rapp the rest.
We invite you to join our good friend Barbara Marks Hubbard for the next stage of human evolution, evolving from me to we to a new whole. A free teleweb event this Saturday, January 18th, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Find out about connections to what Jesus, Buddha, and other great avatars and mystics revealed for our higher potential as it translates to the truth of oneness. And hey, have some funness.
To register for this free teleweb event, go to our website, www.transradio.com, after 4 p.m. today, and click on the hot link, The Next Stage of Human Evolution, upper left box. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
And that is us, Alan Huttner and George Capanelli, hosting you here. And your commentary on that very fine conversation with Pat.
Well, you know, I'm still reverberating from that part that I read that we talked about in the interview, and that whole sense of the indomitable nature of the human spirit, and you know how it survives and prospers in the face sometimes of such incredible obstacle in life. You know,
just, yeah. Resilience was a word that was coming up, you know, because I think we all get compressed at times, particularly with the fast pace of things. And, you know, you and I think, represent healthy aging to a great extent. We're still active. We're physically healthy. So given that, what do you do when, you know, in the days when you're just feeling this compression on you because of the media, the news, what's in the papers? You know, we're fighting a battle between haves and have-nots in a lot of respects. If we shared everything and we didn't spend all this money on war and some inane things, we could support a lot of what I think Pat was talking about, which is coming together in community and hanging out together and having more fun.
Well, I know personally when it gets overwhelming for me, I just turn it off for a little while. And I go someplace else. Either I go inside and seek my own quiet and the wisdom that arises there. Or, as you know, I sculpt. And so sometimes I go to a stone or a piece of wood and I find that it grounds me. You know, in the last period of time, that sort of repositioning, rebalancing, I think is really essential. Because then when we come back, when I come back, at least, I have a better perspective. Mm-hmm.
This is the balancing of the inner, the outer, the doing, the being. Meditation is one of the tools that I love. And, I don't think we speak to, address, and live vibrationally this four-letter word love, L-O-V-E, which is an acronym for me. I bring it up every once in a while, the law of vibrational essence, that vibration of love, that feeling in unity, is a healing force that there's not enough of individually and collectively. So it's time to find out how can you unconditionally love? How can you be compassionate, even against things that come up in the world that are very violent and you may have a personal experience?
And I think that one of the things that we talked about at the end of that segment of the interview was this whole idea of support, you know, that in the face of a world that sometimes makes us feel isolated and alone, one of the things that we can really do is to reach out to others in community or to establish the true meaning of communion or community, mm-hmm. which is engagement with another human being.
Yeah. I think it's also this idea of serving. You know, it does force you in a way to create a relationship with somebody else by helping. It's a little different on the microphone because this has been a form of service. We were just talking about 30 years of radio and broadcasting. I would never have thought of that, but that it's, you know, there's so many ways to serve. We can feel you out there in a way. We know there's people listening. So hopefully we're serving you in the best way too.
So let's keep serving.
You swim through my veins, drown me in your rain. My desire carries no shame. My will harbor no pain.
So it's time now for our You've Got to Be Kidding. You know, we look each week at items in the news that show how crazy or wacky the world is or that give us hope. Today we have some of both. Last week, Alan talked about how fast food giants are ripping off their workers and the public. Here's more on that from Jim Hightower's The Lowdown. In just 3 months last summer, McDonald's produced $1.5 billion in profit. How? One way is it rips off its huge workforce by paying poverty wages and no benefits, and then redirects workers to the food stamp offices and other public safety net programs. They're not alone. Yummy, which is KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, does the same for $648 million in profit. Subway, $436 million. Burger King, Wendy's, Sonic, Dairy Queen, and others all performing this sleight of hand that shifts their cost of doing business onto the government's books.
On the good news side of things, from CARE 2, in a major milestone for championing women's rights in Saudi Arabia, the first law firm for women has opened. Bayan Mohammed Al Zahran took this historic step and is also the first woman lawyer issued the right to practice law in Saudi Arabia. While she says she will be happy to hear cases from both genders, she is excited about the possibility of helping women. She explained that until now, male lawyers often couldn't understand their problems of female plaintiffs, making it difficult for them to try their cases in court. And maybe that will end some of the lawyer jokes that we've been hearing.
But that's a huge step forward, I tell you. Also on the good news side, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray wants to raise the city's minimum wage to $15 an hour. In December, he created a task force to come up with a plan to do that within 4 months. And this would allow him to send the proposal to the city council by the end of July. Voters, in the nearby town of SeaTac already got the chance to weigh in on this same wage level and approved it, granting workers in the town a $15 minimum wage and paid sick days. Similar ballot measures to raise local minimum wages are also on their way in Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Mexico, South Dakota, and Washington.
And this from Amy Goodman. More news emerged this week about the theft of classified government documents by a group of anti-Vietnam War activists who perpetrated one of the most audacious thefts of government secrets in U.S. history and who remained anonymous and successfully evaded capture for more than 40 years. Among them, two professors, a daycare provider, and a taxi driver. Passionately opposed to the U.S. war in Vietnam, this group was certain the FBI, under the direction of Hoover, was spying on citizens and actively suppressing dissent. To prove their case, they broke into an FBI office in the Philadelphia suburb of Media, Pennsylvania, on March 8, 1971, and stole all the files inside and released them to the press. These activist burglars have now come forward not only with a remarkable story to tell, but to offer a critical perspective on the NSA and government spying today. America, the home of the free and the brave, you got to be kidding. Kidding.
Kidding indeed.
Swim through my veins, drown me in your
Age Nation Radio. Love. Laugh. Enjoy life.
All right. coming at you with our third and final bulletin board of the morning. And feel free to chime in, George. I got something that may tickle your fancy, okay? I want to go back to the some final thoughts on this current Joe's Did You Know newsletter. Actually, it's the December letter. I still don't have January. Maybe I'll pick that up today. Stop by and say hello, okay, if you would. We're going to do brunch there probably closer to 12 o'clock today. But the important thing is about this local growing, local purchasing, you know, not shipping food long distances. And as Sheila says, we cannot divorce human health, the economy, ecology, and spirituality, satisfaction, or honorable work from food. Food is fundamental. What we eat, where it comes from, the stewardship of food animals, the nurturing and building of soils, all these factors affect us at a cellular and visceral level. Whether we slow down enough to be aware of it or not, we are fortunate in Santa Fe to have a dedicated farm base producing a wonderful array of goods. And at Joe's, they do the best to offer this bounty to you, keeping dollars in the community. They've spent in 2008, $30,000. 2009, $60,000, and for 2012, they expect to exceed $100,000 in purchasing local grown and produced foods. So kudos to Joe's, one of the reasons why it's the restaurant of our choice at the corner of Rodeo and Zia Roads.
The Academy for the Love of Learning presents a contemplative training in the art of dying. You know, as Alan and George were telling, the art to get next vacations. In Age Nation's previous segment, yeah, with Zen Buddhist teacher Sanshi Rita Lawler. The first model of two is January 16th through the 19th. And for more information and to register, go to www.alofoflearning.org.
Get the G,
man. Org. Now, better?
I'm going to have to prime you on orgasms. Orgasm.
Okay. Orgasm 505-995-1860.
And don't forget that the art of dying is actually the art of living.
Well, you know, just speaking about that, for the first time in my life, I'm getting curious about this crossing the veil and you know, what people have reported from the other side. It's not like it's a void.
And you know what? It is from, say, you know, than the life. The purpose is to the purpose of the birthing is to the dying, to learn to the dying.
Yeah, well, you...
And we're really born when we die.
Well, you're close to the indigenous traditions,
exactly.
Particularly of Peru,
yeah.
They believe that what we're doing here is the dream state.
Yeah,
that it's, you know, part of living in spirituality, that we took an incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
You know, I guess I can't speak directly to that.
Well, and some days this dream state feels like a nightmare.
really.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, if you're having a nightmare, you better make sure you have good insurance. And that's why your TRM team endorses Jeff Halley from the Halley Insurance Agency as our agency of choice. Why? Because they're friendly and treat you like family. Just this year, Jeff came out to our home and office, did an inspection, made some revisions, saved us hundreds of dollars in premium costs. So it's an idea. Get an insurance checkup, not unlike you do for your car or with your doctor, with Jeff Halley and the Halley Agency today. Give him a call. 505-438-2733. That's
4383. And now for Dr. Love on Love with Dr. Pat Love. And hi, Pat. Good to get you into our short conversation segments here. I just read a very extensive piece. It was like maybe 10-12 pages in The Nation magazine under their books and the arts sections about Get Happy. Jackson Lears did an analysis of many books written on happiness. And I'm wondering, since, you know, you've written so many books on love, including my favorite from the very beginning, Hot Monogamy, that maybe you would today discuss the relationship of happiness and love.
I think they're very related, because if you look at the definition of happiness, it usually is the wish to make someone happy. Happiness comes, no matter what you read, it basically says happiness comes from using your particular talent, behavior, thoughts, feelings for a noble cause or to better someone else's life. And isn't that what love is really about? Isn't love about loving? Some people believe the only way you actually feel love is by loving. Mm-hmm. When someone loves you, what you feel is your love going back to them in response. And I think this is so important in relationships, this act of loving. But let me just phrase it a little bit, because what I read recently that made me think about happiness a little bit different, that said perhaps we should even think more about contentment. Because for many of us, happy is like, oh, being on a high or just being giddy, you know, laughing all the time. It can be a quiet moment of contentment. Mm-hmm. It can be, and I like that idea of contentment being a big part of happiness, because especially in relationships, a good friend is the one, you don't even have to talk to this friend. Or you can be apart for many years, and when you pick up, it's like you were never away from each other. And I think long-term happy relationships are this way. There is a knowing of the other that truly is very, very contentment-related. Just being quiet with one another, knowing each other's rhythm, having that bed and board and that time together, that routine together. It's not always laughing and loving and sexual passion. It can be those quiet moments when doing absolutely nothing means the world to both of you.
What a great tip. I think more being than doing in a silent place allows that feeling of love and peace to rise up. So, well, we look forward to talking with you once again, Dr. Love on Love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah, love.
Little look at next week. George and Alan here back from a little Al Green, although you can never get away from Love and Happiness, which is a really terrific thing, huh? Next week, we're going to look at some of the ways that we can get out of the ruts of ordinary perception. We're going to return to that remarkable interview that Alan did with Ralph Metzner, bring you some more great music, insights, and perspectives. Next week, Sedina is going to introduce her wellness tips as part of the short form. And Alan is going to talk about Age Nation, I think.
All right. You'll find out about all that we're doing at agenation.com. We invite you to read Next, our new digital magazine. That's free. And don't forget to pick up a copy of George and Sedina's new book, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide for Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. It's won 4 National Book Awards this year, and Hay House just named it one of the 15 must-read books for 2014. I think we need to come back to that, too, sometime here.
Yeah, we can. And,
all right.
And in the meantime, Alan's going to wind us up and give us some really remarkable insights. His Rudy rap this week is called Wipe the Lens, Do the Cleanse.
All right, and the music bed that I will do this to is from 01. It's called Oogie Iha, and from an album Prototype 2, and I'll kick that in. All right. Wipe the lens, do the cleanse. This is a rant of a rap, a discourse on the crap, on the mental fear flap of the programming trap that is sticky like sap. The limited beliefs of the perceived me and you, a kind of prison I call the Grand Cosmic Zoo, where in reality, anything is possible besides our too often narrow view. So what's really new? It can just make you cry, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And this morning when I wrote a mini rage of a brew and a stew of stinking simmering pot calling for an end to the PU. Time for eagle vision, an expanded precision, a wake-up incision. Time to drain that pressure on the brain that can drive one insane when we truthfully look at the inane, urbane masks of our fame, from the celebrity train to the government game, all the false identities too numerous to name. What to do in this grand cosmic zoo? Now, walk and talk for a peaceful freedom coup. Get out of your cage and peacefully rage at the despots on stage. Find your cure for the mind control plague, the real disease that allows illness to play. And so today, reading Jed McKenna's display of profound words in array, here's what I have to say about his axiomatic points to help us wake up and bray. Yes, bray, B-R-A-Y. Time to yell it to the sky, to the gods, to the ego odds, to the persona facades. Your lens is filthy, as Jed says. When we trace all problems back to their single source, we find that the world appears dark and murky and unknowable, not because it is, but because the lens through which it is projected and perceived is filthy. Great metaphor. My lens is dark and murky. Well, I'm no turkey. The message is, the lens is our pure self, and the filth is ego. My core awareness is untainted. Our vision has just been overpainted with dusty, crusty old thoughts, archaic beliefs, forward brought to this very moment. The ultimate reality of now and how. Remember, be here now. Then, as Jed continues, clean the lens and the world resolves into crystal clarity, and darkness and murkiness are forgotten as if they never were. Eliminate the lens altogether and you're enlightened. But then who is left to be enlightened? So as a frame of reference, in reasonable deference to our incarnate little selves, our filter of preference, I applaud Jed and say to you, please wake up from the world of the walking dead or waking dead. And the final words from Jed, again, wipe the lens. I know you can do the cleanse. Think for yourself. Put your program perception on the storage shelf. Open your eyes and meditate until you're fully wise. Know thyself. Ask, who am I? Self-realize that the ego persona is nothing to despise. Rather, understand it as a filtering device to help you live your life. A tool of seasoning like any cooking spice. It adds some flavor, but don't make it your savior, nor let it control your behavior. Clean the ego lens. Hang out with true friends who know who you are, free from any jar or box, unaffected by curse or a pox. Core self in the light, out of all previous dark nights, done with this false self, endless plight. Now you are love, plugged into all that is, staying enlightened with deep, deep loving as your only biz.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.
All right. It's a wrap and a half for the week. I hope you enjoyed that. And what a team. Thanks, George, for doing what you do with Age Nation. And again, referring people to agenation.com. And give you a little preview of next week. Mirabai Starr, acclaimed author, teacher, and translator on her latest books, The Showings of Julian of Norwich and Gems from St. Francis of Assisi and St. Teresa of Avila. More with Joel Salatin, author of Folks, This Ain't Normal, Joel keynoting at the Clean Economy Conference. We conclude with Hope Ives Moran on Being the Miracle of Love, and we continue with the best music of 2013, the Retro Creation, along with our Age Nation Transitions multimedia collaboration. As George mentioned, more conversation with Ralph Metzner. You know the drill.
Ayuda a crear un mundo mejor. Yes, help make a better world. Join your TRM and RARM team with all shows archived later today at www.transradio.org.
Do
you think the org has something to do with the com?
There's something nice about achieved, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Is achieved and archived.
All right.
Okay.
That's good. All right. We'll take you out with some music, a perfect segue to Eric Davis coming up and the Weekend Experience. Here's Matt Stone of The Simple Things from Northern Lights, a top 80 song last year.
Sun comes up over the hill and climbs in the kitchen window. Coffee on the stove, 6 a.m. again. It's the simple things you know. Simple things you know, and I can't find a better way. Starting each and every day from the simple things. Take the dog out for a walk and climb up on the hill. Feel the morning mist lingering. Hear the chatter of the quail. It's the simple things you know. The simple things you know, and I can't find a better way. Living each and every day from the simple things. Fresh laid eggs, shells so thick and brown. Summer fruit so ripe it's falling on the ground. I don't think I ever want to go to town for the simple things. Up over the hill and climbs in the kitchen window. Coffee on the stove, 6 a.m. again. It's the simple things you know. the simple things you know. It's the simple things you know.
It's the simple things you know.
It's the simple things you know.
It's the simple things you know.
It's the simple things you know. The simple things you know.
It's the simple things you know.
It's the simple things you know.
The views and opinions
from your Transitions Radio magazine minions
are not necessarily those
of Hutton Broadcasting gals and fellows.
Email your comments and views
about content not in the ordinary news
to hosts@transradio.com.
And thanks for listening to our words and song.
And on Facebook, Transitions Multimedia.
Like us and belong.